This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. At this hour, Governor Deval Patrick is scheduled to sign the state's budget for fiscal year 2011. The $27 billion budget cuts state aids to cities and towns by 4% and achieves a fine balance only through a $200 million dip into the state's rainy day fund. There are some who say that the state wouldn't have to dip into that rainy day fund if one bill can make it through the legislature. And that bill is the one to legalize casino gambling in Massachusetts. The House recently passed a major expanded gambling bill by a veto-proof margin, but similar legislation is currently stuck in day six of debate in the Senate. Senate President Therese Murray says the lawmakers may have to work during the upcoming July 4th holiday weekend to get the bill passed. Republican Senator Bruce Tarr says they're ready to move forward now.
We've laid the matter on the table, but now we are not causing the debate to stall. We actually have several items on the table we'd like to get a vote on.
Well, joining us to talk about casinos, the budget, and his leadership on Beacon Hill is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the Honorable Robert DeLeo. Listeners, are you finally ready for casinos in the state? Do you support Speaker DeLeo's idea for so-called racinos in Massachusetts? That's slot machines at the state's racetracks. And what about the governor's gun control proposal? Do you think it's unconstitutional? In the wake of the recent Supreme Court decision on gun control, what would you like the legislature to do about that? Call with your questions for Speaker DeLeo. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also comment online at wbur.org/Boston. Speaker Robert DeLeo, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we're delighted to have you. Let me just start by getting your day six reaction to the debate on the casino bill that's still ongoing in the Senate.
It seems like it's almost like a hostage situation. Every day I go into the State House expecting to hear and see exactly what may be going on and what progress has been made, and through various procedural maneuvers, the matter just never seems to be debated. So right now in the House, we're just waiting anxiously to see what the final bill, which will be coming from the Senate, and we can get to a conference committee right away, because as you may or may not know, I mean, we have only till July 31st to get something done. So it's going to have to be an awful quick, speedy conference committee if we expect to get this on the governor's desk before we break.
And based on how other bills have done in conference, sometimes languishing, it seems, for a long time, just a 30-day conference committee, if the Senate is to get its version through the through their vote, is very fast. So I guess what I'm saying is, are you confident that the governor may have a bill on his desk by the end of July?
I feel confident only in the sense that I think that it is the governor is in support of some form of expanded gaming. I am, and the Senate President is. So I think because of that, because the three of us are in support of the concept, the particular details may take a little bit of time, but I think we'll have something, I would expect, by the end of the term.
Well, Mr. Speaker, let me ask you about those differences, because they are details, but they're rather large ones. I mean, the primary one is that both Senate President Therese Murray and Governor Deval Patrick have said while they support expanded gambling, as you've said, they only want it in terms of those destination resort casinos, whereas you support that plus the inclusion of slot machines at the state's racetracks, a couple of which are in your district. So do you feel like in order to really get a bill passed and signed at the end of the day that you're going to have to compromise on those slots, perhaps?
I'm willing to compromise. I'm not sure if I'm willing to compromise on the slots aspect of it. Right now, because of the racetrack facilities that we have, we employ anywhere from 600 to 1,000 people at these facilities. What I'm concerned about, if this part of my legislation, or the House legislation, I should say, is not passed, then we could be losing 600 to 1,000 jobs at a time when we can least afford to do so. In addition to that, what the House legislation provides is that all of the funding from the slots will go immediately to our cities and towns. Mm-hmm. You know as well as anyone in terms of the fiscal condition of our cities and towns and the need for additional revenue. This would put some $100 million back into the towns, cities and towns' coffers at a time when they need it most. So I look at that, at the discussion about slots as an important part of the gaming debate.
The one thing that I haven't been clear on, because I've been hearing and talking to a lot of different people on this, is say, for example, hypothetically speaking, that Governor Patrick does get a bill on his desk. It is signed by the end of July. When do you think, based on the fact that we have to set up a commission to regulate expanded gambling in the state, the soonest we could see slots, for example, at Wonderland?
Slots at the tracks could be seen in probably a six-month period, 6 to 9 month period. Casinos, you could be talking 2 to 3 years down the road by the time a commission is formed, by the time applications are filed, and by the time the vetting process goes through. So that will be obviously a much, much longer period of time.
Well, we've got a number of people who want to talk to you about this tiny little issue of casinos in Massachusetts. You can definitely join us, and please do. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We are speaking with Robert DeLeo. He is the Speaker of the House of Representatives in Massachusetts. Tom's calling from Lexington. Welcome to Radio Boston, Tom.
Hi. I just wanted to be brief to tell you that gambling has completely destroyed my life. I had a $400,000 home. Now I live in an $89 rooming per week. I lost my life.
Tom, we're losing you on the cell phone line there. I think you said you went from a $400,000 home to a $90 rooming house per week. Are you still with us?
That's supposed to do me. It's completely destroyed me.
Looks like we lost Tom. Let's take another call kind of along the same lines there. Chris is calling from Swampscott. Welcome to Radio Boston, Chris. Not a good day for phones on Radio Boston, but these two callers, Mr. Speaker, were basically raising an issue which is on many people's mind, and that's the social cost of gambling.
Sure. And to Tom and maybe to Chris, I'm not sure. I've spent a good part of the past year listening to a lot of the folks. I've listened primarily to anti-gambling folks, actually, more than I have the pro, for this reason, just to hear from them and to hear what the concerns are. And there are a couple of things that I'd like to point out. First of all, I think that with the money that we've put in to this legislation to handle compulsive gambling is five times what we've ever had before. Right now, we have these problem gamblers that are out there. But they're going to Foxwoods. They're going to Connecticut. They're going to Rhode Island. They're going to Maine. They're going to other states to gamble. But they're coming back to Massachusetts with their problems. And we don't have the finances to take care of it and to address those issues.
But isn't it a little ironic to expand gambling in order to get additional finances to take care of problem
gamblers? Well,
that's
one of the issues I made. What I'm saying is that we can handle the issue because we, first of all, for the first time in a long time, are going to have the resources to do so. But the other thing I want to bring up is the fact you've mentioned the issue of social cost of gambling. And I like to talk about the social cost of joblessness. As I visited many of the union halls throughout the state, and I look into the eyes of folks who tell me that they've been unemployed and are looking for employment through expanded gaming, they tell me they haven't worked in a year or two. The fact that they are just about don't have any health care insurance, that they're about to go bankrupt, some of these folks, that they can't afford to send their children on to for higher education. I think that there is also a social cost to joblessness as well. And that's what this legislation is all about. Is it going to resolve every fiscal difficulties like some people would think? I've heard people say we're not going to have problem with roads or bridges or transportation, education. No, this is just going to be one facet of an economic package that's going to address some of our issues and hopefully get people back to work.
And I believe some numbers that you yourself have put forth in terms of the numbers of jobs that this the casinos and racinos might create is somewhere in the overall construction and permanent service jobs, et cetera, is in the 15 to 20,000 job range.
15 to 18,000.
Yeah.
And we find the 15,000 may not to be more on the conservative side. So we tried to lowball it as much as we could so as to not to overstate what the job situation would be.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another call here. Christine's calling from Holliston. Welcome to Radio Boston, Christine.
Thank you. I am calling because I oppose the expansion of casino gambling or any kind of gambling in our state. I think that it degrades our culture and that there are better ways to create jobs, and that the Senate and the House need to work harder to find better ways. I think they're out of touch with the citizens of Massachusetts, and that we would rather those of us, even who are struggling, pay more in taxes than see the culture of our state degraded by gambling that way.
Christine, thank you so much for your call. Speaker DeLeo, we've got to take a break here in a second,
your reaction to Christine, please. First of all, I can say that, Christine, I appreciate the fact that you're willing to pay more in taxes. I will tell you that is not what I hear up at the State House. As a matter of fact, right now, and if you look at any polling, it will show automatically that people are opposed to any new taxes. So for us to be able to get any additional revenue as a result of taxes, in this particular year anyways, is off the table. Relative to being, out of touch, I hear obviously for a certain percentage of people, expanded gaming is an issue, and I understand that. But on the other hand, the polling of whether people want expanded gaming here in Massachusetts has polled anywhere from 60 to 70% in favor, each and every poll that is taken. Whether we've done the polls, if you look at the Globe, the Herald, and any other newspaper, that always come out strong that people are looking for expanded gaming. So I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about the change in how Massachusetts is viewed. And I thought of that as well, actually, when I went to talk and I said, well, are we going to be changing our state? We looked at it as the educational capital of the world and the healthcare capital of the world. And I was talking to some people, and you may not know this, but there are 37 states that presently have expanded gaming. Even I, when I started on this process some years ago, didn't even know that. But I had a person ask me, Mr. Speaker, when you think of Wisconsin, what do you think of? And I said, cheese and the Green Bay Packers. And the person looked at me, how about the fact that they have one of the largest casinos that there is in the United States in Milwaukee? And I didn't know that. And that didn't change my view at all of what I foresaw is going on in Wisconsin. So what I'm saying is, Christine, I hear the issues and I understand your concerns. But again, we have a whole host of people out there. We're doing a whole host of other things in terms of trying to create jobs. We're doing a lot with the with clean energy. We're doing a lot with the biotech industry, the film industry, just to name a few. So I hear you when I look at this as just another facet for us to be able to attack joblessness.
Well, and a big and important facet for many people involved here, although I have to wonder, what do people in Milwaukee think of that casino, which is really maybe the more accurate comparison. But we are speaking with Speaker of the House, Robert DeLeo. He is the leader of the House of Representatives in Massachusetts. You can talk to him as well. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got to take a quick break. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're back with Massachusetts Speaker of the House, Robert DeLeo. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Speaker DeLeo, before the break, we were talking about casinos, and obviously one of the major reasons why there is some degree of support and a lot of resistance as well to bringing casinos to Massachusetts is their revenue-generating possibilities for the state. Other options or other sources of revenue include federal funding, and that makes me want to turn a little bit to some recent action in Washington that's had an impact on Massachusetts, specifically the fact that our current junior senator, Republican Scott Brown, he earlier voted against an extension of unemployment benefits, which also meant blocking Massachusetts receiving several hundred million dollars in additional funding to help with budgetary concerns in this state. They were all wrapped up into the same bill there. But today, Senator Brown released his alternative proposal for funding those unemployment benefits, also summer jobs, and that so-called FMAP funding, which is that $600 million that I mentioned. So he says his plan provides for funding without essentially raising the deficit or borrowing more money. Here's Senator Brown.
My compromise bill uses unspent stimulus funds and cuts wasteful and unnecessary spending in other areas to pay for these very important programs. You know, believe it or not, there's about $37 billion in stimulus money just sitting in a Washington, D.C. slush fund when it should be put to good use immediately.
So, Speaker DeLeo, we were just talking earlier how the state had to dip into the rainy day fund to balance the fiscal year 2011 budget. Do you believe Senator Brown when he says that there's money to be shaken loose from Washington in a slush fund?
I guess Senator Brown would know that issue better than I do, being in Washington. I served with Senator Brown in the House of Representatives. And I've worked well with him in the past. I had the opportunity to speak with him about this issue and the importance of the FMAP money that's there. Whether there is this money, in some lockbox somewhere in Washington, I'm not sure of.
Well, let me then
when I hear him talk about this cutting of waste, I've been there 20 years now, and I've heard every governor who ran for governor run come in and talk about that they were going to cut waste. Then they come into the office and see that we've got some issues in terms of balancing this budget.
Right.
And for us to talk about, or to us to have taken another $650 million hit, is very disconcerting. And let's just be straight: there are people who are going to be hit or hurt as a result of those types of cuts.
So
plus
Speaker
taking
DeLeo,
$100 million from the rainy day fund, which we try to avoid. That's really concern for me and all the members of the legislature.
Let me ask you then briefly. It doesn't sound like you were terribly happy with the fact that Senator Brown voted against this bill, that the unemployment benefits bill that led to the fact that we lost $600 million.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, when we originally made our cuts in this year's budget, we did not raise any taxes. We did not raise any fees. So most of the revenue, which we got in addition to some of the federal funding, obviously, which we greatly appreciate the work of our congressional delegation and senators, we took really by making cuts. We cut probably over $1.5 billion from our budget this year.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about it earlier, Magna, when you talked about 4% cut in local aid. And, that's going to hurt our cities and towns. And now when we're talking about an additional cut, I know I hear from some of the folks who represent, the disabled in the Commonwealth. I hear from some of the folks who represent maybe the environmental concerns, public safety, whatever it may be. Everybody's going to be taking a hit with a further cut in our budget.
We've got a lot of people anxious to speak with you, so let's turn to them. Zach is calling from Fall River. Welcome to Radio Boston, Zach.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, I was wondering if you plan on introducing any legislation this year that will help control health care costs.
Yes, that's one of the things we're working on right now. As we mentioned earlier, before gaming is can be completed by the end of the year, hopefully within the next week or so, we're going to be having some health care legislation that is going to talk about health care costs. I think most of the proposals that you'll see set forth right now, whether by myself or the Senate President or the Governor, are going to be, Zach, more short-term solutions. I think for us to talk about long-term solutions is going to take a whole area of debate. We attempted to start the discussion with that. The Senate President, I know, spoke about some legislation. The Governor did as well. There are so many different moving parts to get that done that I'm not sure we can do it in this legislative session, but I do think that maybe there's some things we can do in the short term that we will be discussing in the weeks ahead.
Jerry's calling from Concord. Welcome to Radio Boston, Jerry.
Thank you.
What's your thought today?
I just wanted to say I thought the governor's gun control bill was worse than useless, not because of the direct effect it may or may not have if passed, but because it takes time and energy away from solving much bigger problems. Law-abiding people, people who would pay attention to the law, are not the problem. And this is just an attempt to divert our attention from the things that really need work.
Jerry, thanks so much for your call. And just for to explain here, Governor Deval Patrick put forth a proposal that would limit the number of handguns people in Massachusetts could purchase to one a month, and that's the bill that Jerry is referring to.
One of the factors of it. We were fortunate last week to finally get the legislation out of committee. It should be addressed, I believe, before the end of session. Whether we're going to have difficulties to get out of the other committees or not, I'm so sure. But I hear from Jerry, but I hope Jerry also hears the other side of the coin in that I don't think there's a person in the legislature who doesn't appreciate the law-abiding folks who don't understand why would we be addressing this type of issue. On the other hand, you have to understand, and talking to some of my colleagues, especially in some of the larger cities in the state, they'll tell me stories. Well, you have to read about them, about some 12-year-old kid who's on a scooter who gets shot and killed. Now, whether this legislation is going to be able to address all those issues and really bring change to our gun control laws, I'm not sure. I personally think that if we're going to look for more better gun control laws to be able to do something, I think, Jerry, I think it probably has to be done more on a federal level. Because even though we may have a law here in Massachusetts, if they don't have similar laws in New Hampshire or Rhode Island, then I'm not sure what type of dent we can make in crime with handguns.
Well, we'll see how that evolves over time.
Right.
And we'd be delighted to have you back as well, Speaker DeLeer, because there's a lot of questions that we didn't get to, a lot of issues, including would love in the future to be able to ask you about how you're assessing your own leadership
there. Good, I'd love to talk about
it. On Beacon Hill. But we've been speaking with Speaker of the House, Robert DeLeo. He is, of course, the head of the House in Massachusetts. Thank you so much for being with us.
Amanda, thank you for having me. Enjoyed it very much.